If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you that. Let me just say this. We began studying this morning. We began trying to study about remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. We need help sometimes to remember certain things. We have appointment books and calendars and cards and sticky notes and all kinds of things that we do to help us to remember something. And the Word of God says that we need to remember Jesus. On the table up front, this coming Wednesday night when we have our communion service, we're going to be doing what we're doing. We're going to be doing it in, what's the next word? In remembrance of Christ. We're going to be remembering, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to be remembering some certain things about Jesus. But right now, I have other things on my heart that I feel that God would have us to remember about Jesus. We tried to study this morning two things that we should remember about Jesus. One is that we need to remember that Jesus is what? God. That Jesus is God. And then the second thing that we need to remember that we mentioned this morning is that we need to remember the humility of Jesus Christ. We remember that even though that He was God, yet for our sakes, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. So we need to think about and remember that Jesus is God, but we also need to remember the humility of Jesus Christ. Now tonight, I want us to look at two or three other things that I believe that God has burdened my heart greatly with that we need to remember about Jesus. We need to remember, the first thing I want us to look at tonight is that we need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. You remember that when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, one of the statements that Nicodemus made about Jesus is, "We know that thou art a teacher, that thou art a teacher come from God." We know that thou art a teacher. Jesus was the greatest teacher that has ever been on this earth. He taught. He taught many different things. And we need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. I want us to begin tonight, and there's no way that we can cover all of the teachings of Jesus Christ, but there are a few of the main teachings of Christ that I just want you to remember, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Beginning your Bibles tonight in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, I want to read just a couple of verses here, and then I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5. We think about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is full of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to be teaching the same thing that Jesus is teaching, don't we? You know, it's important that when we teach in the house of God, or we teach in our homes, and it ought to be that when we teach in schools, that we teach the same kinds of things that Jesus Christ taught. We need to be teaching those same things. Now, we can't teach those things if we don't know what it is that Jesus taught. So let's look just briefly at some of the things that Jesus taught and the principles that are behind those things that Jesus taught. And I would ask all of you to pray that God will help us to remember the teachings of Jesus. First of all, in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew 4 verse 17, here's the first thing the Bible tells us that Jesus began to teach. The Word of God says in Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, what did he say? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I think everybody here knows and understands that is the primary teaching of Jesus Christ. He taught about the kingdom of heaven. Every place He went, He preached and taught about the kingdom of heaven. And all of you already know this. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I just want you to always remember that if we don't understand the kingdom of heaven, and if we're not teaching the truth about the kingdom of heaven, we're missing the mark completely. We need to know and understand that Jesus taught His people how to live in such a way that they can have fellowship with God every day of their lives. We can experience that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And did you know that's the good news, or the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Remember now Matthew 4:17 says he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then you come down to Matthew 4 and verse 23. The word of God says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. What was he doing as he was going about all Galilee? What's the next word say? The word of God says, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what was he preaching about? What was he teaching about? He was preaching about the gospel of what? Of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, brethren, I believe that too many of God's people today, that all they're thinking about is one day we're going to die and go to heaven and be with God. And they're missing completely the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven that God's obedient children can experience while they live here in the earth. That was the teachings of Jesus. We need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. You come down to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And we're not going to go through the whole book of Matthew, but I just want to hit the high spots because I want you to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, look at the first several verses. As he began the Sermon on the Mount, let's see what the Sermon on the Mount was all about. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. You know, all the way through this Sermon on the Mount, do you know the number one subject that he talked about? All the way through, he talked about and he emphasized the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Had there ever been a teaching like Jesus was teaching right here? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, brethren, everything Jesus taught in this Sermon on the Mount, everything Jesus taught throughout his life was different than anything the people had ever heard before. The teachings of Jesus Christ are different than any other teacher other than those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. The teachings of Jesus Christ are different than any other teachings in the world. In fact, the teachings of the world contradict and are opposite of the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we need to remember what the teachings of Jesus Christ are, because if I lean to my own understanding, I'm not going to be teaching what Jesus taught. The only way that I will ever know what Jesus taught is to study the Word of God. If I lean to my own understanding, if I just tell you what I think or what I feel, I will never teach the teachings of Jesus Christ. They have to come from the Word of God. So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Come down to verse 10. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Is there any other religion that teaches the blessings, the great blessings that come to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Brethren, Jesus taught there are great blessings that come to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What are those blessings? Are the blessings that when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to sit close to Jesus and have 3 crowns or 5 crowns or 8 crowns on your head? That's not what he talks about. He says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the what? It's the kingdom of heaven. When you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, and by the way, the Word of God says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we're not suffering persecution today, it's not because the world doesn't persecute Christians. It's because we're not following Jesus Christ. If you and I follow Christ, we will be persecuted by the world. In fact, we will be persecuted by many other children of God who don't know the teachings of Jesus Christ. So we need to know what the teachings of Christ are. We need to know that the primary teaching of Christ was about the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to go to a second thing, and it's connected with the kingdom of heaven, but I want you to notice something else that Jesus taught. How many of you have ever heard, and this is scripture now, but it's a distorted scripture, how many of you ever heard, we're not under the law, but we're under what? Grace. Grace. Now that's scripture. But did you know how that's distorted among Christians today? They use that as an excuse to not follow a high standard of living. And that's the doctrine of the devil. Anytime that you take the Word of God and you use it as an excuse to not be faithful and diligent and committed in your service to God, you need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, you have, by the deceitfulness of the devil, you have perverted the truth of God's Word. If you take the truth that we're not under the law, but under grace, and you use that truth, I'm not going to get into what all it does teach, but I want to tell you tonight that being under grace does not mean we have a lower standard than what they had under the law. In fact, if you look at the Word of God, we're talking about the teachings of Christ. We have a higher standard under grace than they had under the law. And that's what Jesus sets forth right here. I want you to look at Matthew 5, verse 20. Matthew 5, verse 20. The Word of God says, I want you to see that the teachings of Christ are a higher standard than they had under the law. Matthew 5, verse 20. The Word of God says that Jesus says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall what? Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the what? The kingdom of heaven. Does your righteousness have to be better than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, I know that you can understand, and this is a different truth, but our righteousness has to be better than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and our righteousness has to be better than anything we can ever attain in order to enter the eternal heaven. Did you understand and know that our righteousness does not get us into the eternal heaven? That's a part of the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the Bible does teach that there is a righteousness that comes, there's a practical righteousness that comes from following the Word of God and living the way the Word of God tells us to live. And that's the righteousness that has to be better than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees in order for us to enter the what? The kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew 5. He explains that in the rest of this chapter. What's the point that I'm trying to get across right now? The first point was, in the teachings of Jesus Christ, that He taught about what? He taught about what? The kingdom of heaven. Second thing is that the teachings of Jesus Christ teach us that there is a higher standard for God's children today than what they had under the law. There's a higher standard. That's what he says when he means when he says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at the next verse, the next two verses. He says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Now, where did that come from? Okay, the Old Testament of the law. That's right. I'm trying to draw the parallel here, or contrast, really. Under the law, was it true that God said, thou shalt not kill? That was the standard under the law. Thou shalt not kill. Jesus says in verse 22, But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, okay, now under the law, the command was thou shalt not kill. Is that still a command for us today? Is it still a command for us today? Certainly it is. The Word of God tells us that Jesus said in the same passage of Scripture, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And then he says, now, under the law they said, thou shalt not kill, and that's a true statement. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, don't be, what's the next word? Don't be what?
Angry.
Don't be angry. Is that a higher standard than just thou shalt not kill your brother? Don't be angry with your brother. Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is going to be in danger of the judgment. You see a higher standard under the teachings of Jesus than under the law? Come down to verse 27. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, the Word of God says that Jesus said, Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that a true teaching? Is that something we still ought to follow today? Is that a standard of righteousness that God gave in the Old Testament under the law? That's a standard of righteousness. But what did Jesus say? He said, Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough just not to commit adultery, Jesus says in the next verse. He says, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You see that it's not enough for me not just to lay with a woman, but to not even look after a woman and lust after a woman. What will that keep me out of when I look and lust after a woman? It will keep me out of something. What will it keep me out of? It'll keep me out of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Jesus says there's a higher standard. Is that a teaching of Jesus that we need to remember? Why do we need to remember that? Because the devil is deceiving many Christians today and has them in low gear when they ought to be in high gear. The devil has many Christians today doing very little service to God because they're saying, well, we're saved by, what are they? They got the, they're sitting in a rocking chair, folding the hands, and we're saved by what? Are we saved by grace? Yes, we're saved by grace. But what else? Is that all the story? Paul Harvey says, now for the rest of the story. Well, listen, brethren, as far as eternal salvation is concerned, we are saved by grace. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if it weren't that way, did you know how many of us would be in eternal heaven if it's based on your works and your obedience? No, not one. Not one. The only reason anybody will ever be in the eternal heaven is because of the grace of God. But the only reason that anybody enters the kingdom of heaven while they live here on this world is when they follow and keep the teachings and commandments of God. Our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Is that a different teaching, the teaching of Jesus, that our standard is higher? Is it a higher standard to be a Christian or to be under the law? Which standard is higher? To be a Christian is a higher standard. That's a teaching you need to remember. He comes on down to Matthew chapter 6. Here's some more of the teachings of Jesus. He says, now, did the scribes and Pharisees, did they pray? And when they prayed, what did they like to do? They liked to stand out in the open where everybody could hear them pray, and they would pray out loud to be heard of men. Jesus said that when you pray, you go into your closet, and you shut the door, and your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Does he teach a different way to pray than what they had learned under the law? And then he talks about giving alms. I think giving alms was the first thing he said. When you give alms, don't do it to be seen of men. Again, do it in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And then he talks about prayer, and then he talks about fasting. And in everything he tells us, don't do it to be seen of men. Any religion that's done, anything we do in our service to God, if we do it to be seen of men, this is the teaching of Christ. If you do it to be seen of men, Jesus says, you've had your reward. That's it. God's not going to reward you if you do it to be seen of men. Does God reward us when we do it to honor and glorify Him instead of to be seen of men? Yes, He does. We need to remember, what's the first thing we studied this morning? We need to remember that Jesus is God. What's the second thing we need to remember? We need to remember the humility of Jesus Christ. What's the third thing we're looking at right now? We need to remember the teachings of Jesus, because the teachings of Jesus are different than any other teachings on this earth. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 20. Turn to Matthew chapter 20, because in this particular chapter, Jesus is again showing a major difference. And He does that all the way through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. But for the sake of time, I want to come to Matthew chapter 20, and I want you to begin with verse 25. He says, now here's the way you determine greatness among the Gentiles. And I'll just ask you this question tonight. Is there a way, let's just forget the church just a minute, and let's go out in the world in your minds and think. What is it that determines somebody that's great out there in the world? You take the world's standards today. What is it that determines whether or not somebody's great? Somebody tell me, what is it that determines, in the eyes of most people, what is it that determines whether or not they're great? Brother James, name me anything that the world thinks is a great man. Say it again.
Money.
Money. I don't know if you can improve on that response. Isn't that? I mean, the greatness is determined to a great degree. How great they are is determined to a great degree by money. In the eyes of the world, what does Jesus say? That's not the way it is. The teachings of Jesus don't teach that. Do you and I have a problem sometimes with thinking that getting things and attaining money and having nice houses, nice homes, nice cars, and things like that, does that infect us sometimes? That we think that we've got to have a higher standard of living? Are we sometimes not willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to be a Christian because we want to really be looked up to by the world? What's the teachings of Jesus? Listen to Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 25. Jesus called them unto Him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your, what? Let him, okay, first one is minister. Let him be your minister. Now, is he talking about a preacher there when he says, let him be your minister? No, he's not talking. He's talking about a servant. He explains that again in verse 27. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. be a servant. And is that a teaching of Jesus Christ over and over in the Word of God, to be a servant? Is that teaching different than what the world has? Do we need to remember the teachings of Jesus Christ about being a servant? He says in the 28th verse, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. What did Jesus come for? One of the many things He came for was to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I just want to mention one other of the teachings of Jesus Christ that we need to remember. We need to remember the teachings of Christ. One other that I want you to remember is in Acts chapter 20. Turn your Bibles very quickly to Acts 20, and I want you to see another of the teachings of Jesus Christ that we need to remember. Do all of you understand that all I'm doing is skimming the surface tonight? Do all of you understand that when I talk about things we need to remember about Jesus, that all I'm trying to do is give you something to go home then and study? Okay, let's look at all the teachings of Jesus. We need to remember not just the few that Brother Billy picked out and talked about, but we need to remember all the teachings of Jesus. In Acts chapter 20, listen please to verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Word of God says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring... Now is that talking about getting out and working? Yes, it is. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Do I need to get out and work and labor? Do all of us need to work and labor? Yes, we do. And how that laboring we ought to support the weak and to remember, to what? To remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, that's a strange doctrine. Did you know that? That's a strange teaching. I can remember as a child hearing Daddy sometimes preach about it's more blessed to give. And I hear him say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he would try to teach me that by example, and he would try to get me to learn it's more blessed to give than to receive. Did you know I never that didn't make sense to me. Is it hard to understand it's more blessed to give than to receive? Do you know the only ones who can understand that are born-again children of God who really love God? And as you do what God tells you to do, what do you begin to experience? It really is more blessed to give than to receive. You do find greater joy in giving than in receiving. But you'll never experience that until by faith you listen to the teachings of Christ and you begin to follow the teachings of Christ, because this teaching, as well as every other teaching of Jesus Christ, is contrary to my heart, mind, and soul. When Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, I have to believe Jesus, and then I have to act on that belief. I have to be a doer of God's Word in giving, and giving in the right way and for the right purpose. And then what do I find in my soul? What am I going to feel in my soul when I give for the right purpose? And give, and don't be seen of men, not let anybody know. Give, not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. When I give the right way, what's going to happen? What am I going to find? Joy. What am I going to experience? The kingdom of heaven. If I do what? If I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Do I need to remember, and all of us need to remember the teachings of Christ? Yes, because the teachings of Christ are completely different than the teachings of the world. Let me just mention one other thing. There are about 15 other things I'd like for us to preach on tonight, but I know you don't want to be here all night. But I want to mention one other thing we need to remember. Not only do we need to remember that Jesus is God, and that Jesus is humble, and that Jesus is a teacher, and we need to remember the teachings of Jesus, but one of the things I want you to remember is Jesus is compassionate. Was Jesus compassionate? And by the way, and this is something I've forgotten until just now that I meant to bring out, when I talk about Jesus was humble and Jesus was a teacher and Jesus was all this stuff, all of you understand what I'm trying to get across is that while He lived in the flesh, He was those things. But I want you to understand Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we come to this point about Jesus being a teacher. Is Jesus still teaching us today? And we come to this point right now about Jesus being compassionate. Was Jesus compassionate while He was here on this earth? I'll tell you, my heart I've got chill bumps all over me right now thinking about studying this week
And I began to look at compassion. 14 times the Word of God talks about Jesus being compassionate. And here's what it says. It says when He would see them hungry, He was moved with what?
Compassion.
And He fed them. And He would see them afraid, and He was moved with compassion, and He comforted them. And He would see them as sheep without a shepherd, and He was moved with compassion, and He came and was a shepherd to them. And He would see them sick, and He was moved with compassion, and He went and He healed them. And all through the Word of God, you'll find that Jesus was moved with compassion. Did you know Jesus is still moved with compassion today? The Bible tells us that we don't have a great high priest like they had in the Old Testament. I'll tell you, things are better. Things are a lot better today than they have ever been before. We don't have a high priest like they had in the Old Testament. We have one high priest. That's Jesus Christ. And we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Somebody might say, well, Sister April's been fixing to have a baby, and Jesus doesn't know anything about having a baby. Let me tell you something. Jesus is God. Jesus knows every pain that a woman has ever had in having a baby. And Jesus is going to be right there with you, Sister April, because He's what? He's full of what? Compassion. Compassion. Oh, all of us might think, well, I love you, Sister April, and we'll pray all night, or we'll fast and pray, or we'll do all this other stuff. Nobody like Jesus, sister. I'll tell you, He'll be right there with her. He'll be right there in the room with her. He'll be there bringing that baby forth. Because Jesus is full of compassion. Now, if we're going to be Christians, we've got to be full of what? We've got to be full of compassion. Do I need to remember that Jesus is full of compassion? Do I need to remember the teachings of Jesus? Do I need to remember the humility of Jesus? Why do I need to remember all of those things? Because I want to be a Christian. I claim to be a Christian. Do you claim to be a Christian? Do you claim that you love Jesus and that you want to follow Jesus Christ? Well, then you need to remember Jesus. May God help us to remember Jesus every day, not just this coming Wednesday night when we do what we do in remembrance of Him, but every day. May God help us to study His Word and remember Jesus every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.